Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
An outspoken critic, Maine Republican Senator Olympia Snowe, stunned Washington in February 2012 when she announced she would not seek a fourth term and offered a sharp rebuke to the Senate, citing the dispiriting gridlock and polarization. After serving in the legislative branch at the state and federal levels for 40 years, including 18 years in the U.S. Senate, she explained that Washington wasn't solving the big problems anymore. Incivility had taken its toll. Since leaving the Senate, she's written a book, Fighting for Common Ground. After such a long government career, I asked her how Congress has come to such a standstill and why she wanted out.
There's so many reasons, I guess, that could be attributed to why we are where we are today. I mean, obviously, the political divisions that, you know, are steeped in the political realm, you know, of campaigns, more money, outside groups. But at the same time, I think as well, the divisions, you know, and the way we communicate. Now, I always used to say I was sort of viewed through the prism of MSNBC and Fox News, and sort of what's happened, the divide. And, you know, we've read about, you know, the book with a big sort, you know, people living with like-minded individuals or speaking to like-minded individuals. And that has all infused the policymaking process in Washington. It's gotten to be a stand-down. And for some reason, people think the only way you convey a point of view is just to oppose the other side without sorting through the issues. It wasn't that there was, you know, mild eras, you know, in Congress. But rather what it was is that you had your fierce, ferocious debates, but at the end of the day, you knew you were going to come to some kind of solution. In some cases, you didn't. But you at least tried, and you worked through a legitimate, transparent process, which isn't what's happening today. And it became like a parliamentary system in the Senate. You know, each side offered their political party position for the political base, and neither side could prevail because they didn't have the votes. And then there was a stand-down, and it didn't go any further than that, other than they're going to take it to the next election. And that's why we've gotten into this perpetual treadmill of the status quo.
I was struck while reading your book, because we all think of civil discourse at an all-time low in Congress and in politics. But it's, as you point out, it is at a low for us as Americans. And you do have to wonder if we need to understand that as humans and human nature before we can expect it from our legislators.
It's true. I think we have to engage in our own self-analysis and what we want. And that, frankly, we get the government we demand. And if we want change, then we have to change it, and we have to change. And I think, you know, it's interesting, and this is what contributed to my decision. As I traveled the country, you know, I had to do my fundraising outside of Maine for most part because I couldn't raise all my money in Maine. So I got a chance to talk to people not only in my state all the time, and I crossed the country and talked to people on both sides of the political spectrum. And what surprised me is hearing from people that even though they felt strongly about their views, they could have been strong Republicans, strong Democrats, at the end of the day, they wanted the government to work. And what made them fearful is what they were seeing in Washington at a time when they should be rising to the highest levels of legislative leadership. They saw that Congress was incapacitated to reach any solutions, couldn't make a decision. Some people were saying to me, if they would just make a decision, but couldn't make a decision. And I think that's what has concerned people, I think, mostly about the fact that they're disabled now from any decision-making.
Is that because, as a body, they're always running? There is always a political element to what they do. If that were not so paramount, would we have seen the gun vote that we saw?
Right. And, you know, it's interesting about that because people say to me, well, you know, there's 90, 95% support. How is it?
Right.
And obviously that can break down according to, you know, regions. That's more, less political and partisan than it is geographic and regional. But nevertheless, it speaks to a larger question about the politics. And it's interesting because usually the dust would settle after an election, and you get a year of legislating and focus on issues. But that's not happening anymore. It's just a perpetual campaign. And so ultimately, everything is done or viewed through the political prism. And it becomes the end-all and be-all. And I firmly believe, especially for, I think, a lot of newcomers to the process, both in the House and Senate, that they've lost sight of what their purpose of public service is all about. Now, it doesn't mean to say there are times you want to block a piece of legislation, frankly. I mean, that's another, but not to the exclusion of everything. And that's what it's become, and to the detriment of the country. Every episode that's occurred as far as a crisis, whether it's a debt ceiling, or a fiscal cliff, or sequestration, automatic cuts, whatever the case is, it's all been manufactured by Congress. It's not something that came along that was totally unexpected.
You do have to wonder of just looking at your situation of being of standing alone and an independent voice of take the health care vote, of how you were looked at during that as we have to win her, and the power that you had in that moment, which you would think would empower others to say, okay, I'm going to be independent as well, and I'm going to stand out and say what I think and feel. But instead, you're the rarity.
Yes, because most people don't want to take the risk. I think many people saw, you know, the things that I endured. I always remember when Jim Jeffords converted.
Right.
You know,
in
Vermont. And he was a good friend. And we used to have lunch every week, a group of us as moderates and everything. And he made the decision to leave. And one of my colleagues said on the Republican side, he said, gosh, Olympia, you take more guff than anybody, you know, in the Senate, because I was willing to stand out. And that's because I firmly believe you have to do the right thing. You got to give it a chance. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But my constituents wouldn't countenance walking away from the table without at least giving it a chance. And that's how I always firmly believed, is that give it a chance if it doesn't work. And I'm always willing to listen to somebody else. They may have a better idea, may have a better appreciation of that perspective, but no one's giving that opportunity. They don't want to invite the political risk and the wrath that comes with it in the final analysis. But I have been doing that and playing that role for so long that I just could withstand it more than most and just took it as part of the daily job.
Olympia Snowe's new book is Fighting for Common Ground, How We Can Fix the Stalemate in Congress. It is published by Weinstein Books. Senator Snowe, it's a delight to have you here. I thank you so much for being with us and sharing your thoughts so eloquently.
Likewise, Joe. Thank you for having me, and I just appreciated this conversation here today.
Former Maine Republican Senator Olympia Snowe. We'll hear from the people on this topic of civility when we return to our series Agreeing to Disagree, Civility in Public Discourse. The series is funded in part by Mass Humanities, state-based affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities, masshumanities.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.